Well, welcome to Crossline Church. I'm Pastor JP, and I have the privilege of being the senior pastor here. And you've joined us in the midst of a study we've just begun out of the New Testament book of 2 Corinthians. It's called A New and Better Way. And today, the passage that we have where God talks about this new and better way is 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 14 to verse 17. Let me read it for us. But thanks be to God who always leads us as captives in Christ's triumphal procession, and uses us to spread the aroma of the knowledge of Him everywhere. For we are to God the pleasing aroma of Christ, among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To the one we're an aroma that brings death, to the other we're an aroma that brings life. And who is equal to such a task? Unlike so many, we do not peddle the word of God for profit. On the contrary, in Christ we speak before God with sincerity as those who have been sent from God. I'm titling this message, Do You Smell Like Jesus? Do you smell like Jesus? And there's three observations, three truths from this passage that I think will really help us understand this new and better way. Last week, we talked about the fact that there's an old way. It's the way of self-sufficiency. It's the way of a religious treadmill where we're on a performance-based standing with God, whether we come at it from the standpoint of religion or just our own self-effort. And that always leads either in guilt and shame or it leads to pride and hypocrisy. That's the old way. But the new and better way is a way that's filled up with Jesus Christ. And this morning, what we're looking at from 2 Corinthians chapter 2 is a description of this new and better way. And here are three things that I want us to understand about it. The first one is this. We are captives to Christ's triumph. We are captives to Christ's triumph. Verse 14 says, But thanks be to God who always leads us as captives in Christ's triumphal procession. Now, when the Apostle Paul, who's the author, when he wrote that, he uses a term that his audience would have readily understood. It's the Greek word triumbuo, and what that means is to display a triumph or to triumph over captives. And it was a word that was used to describe a Roman general when he would be out fighting some conflict on behalf of Rome and he would win the battle, he would bring captives back to Rome. And those captives would be chained to his chariot. And there would be a huge parade that was thrown in the honor of the conquering general, in honor of his triumph. And those captives would be chained behind the general and they would be burning incense in celebration of his victory. There would be people on the sidelines throwing flowers. So there would be these sights and these sounds and these smells of this victorious procession that was accomplished by the conquering general. And what Paul says here is that we are the captives and Jesus is the triumphant general. We are actually chained to the chariot of Jesus Christ. And Paul says in a way that's it's counterintuitive. It's not the way we would think about things, but you know, the book of Proverbs tells us there is a way which seems right to a man, but the end thereof is death. So just because something doesn't make sense to us initially, don't discount it, because Isaiah 55 says God's ways are higher than our ways, and God's thoughts are more pure than our thoughts. And what God says here is the way to understand victory or the way to understand triumph is that we're actually chained to Christ's chariot. Christ has actually triumphed over us. He was victorious over us. He conquered our selfishness. He conquered our propensity to be independent from God. He conquered our self-centeredness and our sinfulness. And when Jesus died on the cross and rose from the dead, and we invited Jesus into our lives, we actually surrendered ourselves to Jesus. That's why Jesus says in Matthew chapter 16, if anyone would want to be my follower, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. We've literally denied ourselves in embracing Jesus. And that's actually the way to victory. That's actually the way to triumph, because it's not our personal triumph, it's Christ's triumph. Because if I thought about my personal triumph, well, then I would think every one of my prayers would be answered exactly the way I pray it. I would have no conflict in my relationships. My bank account would be full. I'd have an unbelievable relation with my wife and my kids, and life would just go from one victory to another victory to another victory. See, that's when I think about it as my triumph. But see, Jesus' triumph isn't always like that. Jesus' triumph doesn't always involve my success. Jesus' triumph doesn't always involve my circumstances being exactly the way I want them. In fact, even for the Apostle Paul, later on, as he writes in this letter of 2 Corinthians, in chapter 4, he talks about we're always caring about in our body the dying of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may be manifested in our flesh. He writes later on at the end of the book in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 that I'm going to boast about my weaknesses, because when I'm weak, that's when Christ's strength is displayed in me. So the new and better way is the triumph of Jesus Christ over our lives. We actually share in Christ's victory. And that means we need to embrace the chains. The very circumstances that tie us to Jesus, we need to embrace those. We need to daily surrender our lives to Jesus Christ. Here's an illustration. It may work, it may not. But you have a key that you can put in your ignition to turn your car on. I know a lot of cars have electronic ignitions, but the old-fashioned way is you got a key. You put it in the ignition, you turn it, and it turns the whole engine on in your car. Let's suppose that key had a personality, and you could actually talk to it. And the key said, I don't like getting put in the ignition. I don't like getting stuck in there. It's too confining. It's too constraining. I want another way for the engine to be turned on. I want to just be able to, will it to happen. I want to just be able to think it to happen. I want to be able to just kind of move it to happen. And so that key just strains and thinks and does all it can to try to make the car come on. And, well, you get the idea. Nothing would happen, right? Because the nature of the case is you've got to put the key in the ignition and turn it on for the car to come on. And when you do, all the power of that engine, however many horsepower it is, it comes alive. Well, we're like the key, and the way God has designed for all of the horsepower, the spiritual horsepower to come alive, the very triumph of Christ to come alive, is we've got to be placed into Christ. We've got to be captives to His chariot. We've got to be identified with His triumph. It's the only way. The way up is the way down. That's why James says, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you at the proper time. The way to exaltation is humility. The way to victory is to be conquered. The way to triumph is to be a captive to Christ's chariot. It's the only way that we can share in His victory. It's the chains that really set us free. So that's the new and better way that Paul starts to talk about. We're chained to the chariot. Here's a second truth that he says about this. God uses us to spread the aroma of the knowledge of Him. God uses us. He uses me. He uses you. He uses every believer, every follower to accomplish His purposes, to actually spread the knowledge of Him to others. This is what our text says. And God uses us, verse 14, to spread the aroma of the knowledge of Him everywhere. For we are to God the pleasing aroma of Christ among those who are being saved and those who are perishing. To the one, we're an aroma that brings death. To the other, an aroma that brings life. Paul says that we manifest the aroma of Christ. He's kind of mixing his metaphors, actually, because the word manifest means to be made known. It means to be able to see something. So he's talking about seeing a smell. The point is, Paul is saying that God so uses us that we give off the aroma of Jesus Christ. He is, again, tying into this idea of this victory parade of the Roman general, because when he came through and marched down that avenue and the chariot was leading the charge and the captives were chained behind the chariot, incense was burning and flowers were being thrown, and the combination of that incense and those flowers create a certain smell. And when people smelled that smell, it reminded them of the triumphal procession. It's like that line from the great theological movie, Apocalypse Now, when Robert Duvall playing the role of Colonel Bill Kilgore is sitting out on the beach, and he says, "I love that smell, that gasoline smell. I love the smell of napalm in the morning. It reminds me of victory." The smell of napalm to a soldier reminded him of victory. Or maybe, I can think about this, back when I was dating my wife, Donna, and we were at UCLA, I was working there as a campus minister, and she was a student, she was in a sorority, and back in those days, I used to wear Polo Cologne by Ralph Lauren, and you know, and I put it on thick, and one time I came over to her sorority house, and I walked in, and a roommate was coming down the stairs, didn't even see me, but she smelled the Polo Cologne, and she yelled back up, "Hey, Donna, your boyfriend's here." Polo Cologne reminded her of me. Or have you ever come home, maybe just I'm talking to a lot of you guys out there, and your wife has just fixed, I mean, your favorite meal. You can smell it cooking in the kitchen. And as soon as you walk in the door, you smell it, and oh, man, everything is going, man. You're ready to eat. All of a sudden, you're hungry, and saliva in your mouth is going, and because that smell kind of reminded you of that. There's just something about smells that connect us with ideas and experiences and realities. And what the Apostle Paul says is that the smell of the Roman general parade reminded people of triumph. And he says the smell of followers of Jesus Christ remind them of Jesus. We smell like Jesus. God causes us to smell like Jesus. And he says in this passage, we're an aroma to God of this victory and triumph that God has accomplished through Jesus Christ. God, in sending a son, Jesus, who lived a perfect life and died on the cross and rose again from the dead and provided this salvation plan, when that becomes real in our lives and we're chained to the charity of Jesus Christ, we smell like Jesus, and it's a smell that's going up to God, that's honoring God as a fragrant aroma. But he also says that people, they smell that smell too. And it's interesting because he says to the one, it's a fragrance or an aroma from life to life. To the other, it's an aroma from death to death. See, it's the same smell. It's the smell of Jesus. But to people who are being saved, that's the smell of life, because it's a message that they can be forgiven and have salvation and have eternal life. But to the people who are rejecting God and hardening their heart, it's a smell of death, because it's reminding them that they're turning away and rejecting that offer. It's the same smell. Just a couple of weeks ago, my son Taylor, Pastor Taylor, he preached a sermon for Summit for the young adults. He's going through a series on the Psalms, and he preached a sermon on lament, the Psalms of lament, and what it meant to lament. I thought it was such a good message that I forwarded it on my Facebook to my friends on Facebook. I just liked it, and I shared it with people on Facebook, and I'm part of some groups on Facebook, and one of them is an alumni group of people I went to high school with, and so I forwarded it to my alumni group, and I just put a little word that this is my son preaching a message, and you know, we live in a time when we could use some good news, and here's some good news, and so I forwarded it. And you know what's so interesting? I immediately got some response that liked it and thanked me for sending it. And then I got the most negative response I think I've ever gotten to anything from someone I went to high school with. And they were offended that I would send that and in their words, try to proselytize them. And then there were people who responded to them saying, "Lighten up. I mean, it's a great message, and we need to listen to this." And I just kind of stood back and didn't do anything, and just let people kind of chatter on Facebook. But what I thought was, here's the same message that some people thought was good news and other people thought was bad news. Some people thought it was an aroma of life to life, and other people thought it was an aroma of death to death. And that is exactly what the Bible says will happen about our lives. But the thing that we need to recognize is that we're the smell of Jesus, and it's being offered back to God. And some people are going to really be drawn to us because of that, and some people are going to reject us because of that. but it's the same smell. It's the smell of Jesus. Oh, and one more thing I'll throw in on this. Did you know that one of the symptoms, because as I'm giving this message, we're in the midst of this, you know, coronavirus crisis. One of the symptoms of having COVID-19 is you lose your sense of smell. A lot of people talk about that. They actually lose their sense of smell. And then when they're cured, they get it back again. Here's the good news of the gospel. God can change somebody's sense of smell. God can change somebody's sense of smell. In other words, what might at one time smell like death to them, God could so work in their life that all of a sudden that same smell is a smell of life to that same person. What they once thought was death was actually life, because now their hearts have been turned and they're seeking after God, and the smell of Jesus from our lives reminds them that salvation is available, and it's a smell of life to life. That's the good news of the gospel. God can change people's lives, change people's hearts, and yes, change people's smell. Here's a third observation from this passage, the new and better way. Both God and people are watching our lives and listening to our words, but only God is the audience. Both God and people are watching our lives and listening to our words, but only God is the audience in this new and better way. Verse 15 says, we are to God the pleasing aroma of Christ among those who are being saved and those who are perishing. And verse 17 says, unlike so many, we do not peddle the word of God for profit. On the contrary, in Christ we speak before God with sincerity as those sent from God. As followers of Jesus Christ, God is our audience. Our mission is to please Him and to live authentically before Him. Others just get to watch. People just get to listen in on the conversations that we're having, but we're really living and speaking to God. Paul says, we don't peddle the word of God for profit. He uses kind of the term to describe kind of street side vendors that are peddling things. If you've ever traveled to another country, especially a third world country, you know that from the airport to wherever you're going, and then every time you're on the street, there are people who want to sell you something, peddle something. I remember several years ago, my wife and I had the opportunity to go to Egypt, and we went to the pyramids, and out in front of the pyramids are all these people with these little trinkets. They're, you know, they got to make a living. That's awesome. But this was the tactic that they would use. They would come up to you, and they would say, it's a gift. It's a gift. And whatever trinket they had, they want you to hold out your hand, they put it in your hand, and they'd actually close the fist. It's a gift. It's a gift. And you'd go, oh, thank you. And then they'd say, give me something American. Give me something American. And you're thinking, I thought it was a gift. No, it was just the ploy that they used to peddle their goods. Paul is saying, we don't do that. That's not the way we follow Jesus or serve Jesus or tell other people about Jesus. We're not peddling the word of God. No, God is our audience. And in fact, he says, we speak sincerely in the sight of God. The word sincerely here is the Greek word eilokrinia. And literally this means to be judged by the light of the sun. So how does a word that means judged by the light of the sun get translated as sincerely? Well, let me tell you the etymology of the word, and you'll figure it out. So the word is judged by the light of the sun, but in Latin, this word is sincera, and sincera becomes sincerely in English. So why did they use sincera in Latin for eilokrinia in Greek? Well, sincera in Latin means without, sincera, wax, without wax. Okay, now you might be thinking, I'm lost. Judged by the light of the sun, without wax, sincerely. Well, here's where it all makes sense. In the ancient world, they would make pottery and would sell it. And if the pots, whatever kind they were, if they had cracks in them, well, people might not buy them. So what the potter who would sell the pots would do, they would take wax the color of the clay and put in the cracks. So put the wax in the cracks, and then you couldn't see that it had cracks. But when it was judged by the light of the sun and the heat of the sun, what happened? The wax melted, and you could see the pot for what it was. So alacrinia, sincera, sincerely, judged by the light of the sun means what you see is what you get. There's no hidden agendas. Nothing's trying to be covered up. Paul says the way we follow Jesus, the way we shine the light of Jesus, the way we smell like Jesus, the way we tell others about Jesus, there are no hidden agendas. We're not trying to cover anything up. We're being authentically who we are, warts and all, the good, the bad, and the ugly, which goes all the way back, by the way, to verse 14, which says we're always being led in triumph in Christ. It's his triumph over us. So sometimes the most powerful witness of Jesus that we give to people isn't when everything's working out for us, but when everything's falling apart. When everything's falling apart, but people see Jesus in our lives, even when everything's falling apart, that smell of Jesus is so authentic to people, they say, that's what I want. I want something that'll work even in a coronavirus life, even when I lose my job, even when my kids are not following my wishes, even when I'm sick, even when life's falling apart. I want something that will work in my life when I'm chained to the chariot. When I'm chained to the chariot. This passage, it's a new and better way because we're chained to Christ's triumph, because God causes us to smell like Jesus, and because we live and speak with God as our audience. You know, I'm giving this message right now virtually to an empty room. I can't wait till we all get back and can be together at church, and this place is filled up, and I'm actually looking at people, and people are responding to me. Now, picture this. What if, you know, that happens, and we're going to be all back here, and I'm speaking, and there's people all over this auditorium, and I look out as I'm starting to talk, and I see seated right in the front row looking right back at me, Jesus. I mean, it's Jesus. Jesus is actually sitting here. I have to be honest. If I was preaching and Jesus was actually sitting here, whatever sermon I put together, however I'm thinking about what I have to say, and whoever else is in the audience, I'm wanting to be pleasing to Jesus. I'm wanting to say what I'm saying and say it the way I'm saying it in a way that would make Jesus happy. You all would just be listening in. That's the new and better way. That's the Christian life. God is our audience. God is our audience. So, do you smell like Jesus? Let me just remind you of a couple things here, because this is really life-changing. Stay chained to the chariot. They're the chains that are going to set you free. Every day, acknowledge that Jesus is the Lord of your life, that you've surrendered your life to Jesus, that you've asked him to triumph over you, and you are following him in his triumph. Second, let Jesus use you. However he wants to use you, say every day, just say you're available. However Jesus wants to cause his aroma to come out of you, whether it's your family or your neighbors or through people on Facebook or however it works out, let Jesus use you. And even let him use you through the things that are hard and difficult. Because as I said, more often than not, it's in our brokenness that the real aroma of Jesus can shine out to people and give them hope. Here's another idea from this passage. Don't force conversations. Don't get into arguments. Don't try to control people. Don't try to be driven by selfish motives, even in your good desires to want to influence people for Christ or want to tell people about Jesus. Don't subvert to peddling the Word of God. Instead, live and speak about Jesus from your heart with God as your audience, because that's the new and better way. Let me pray for us. God, I thank you so much for what you've done for us in Jesus Christ. And I pray that every one of us would surrender to you. Let you triumph over us. Let you cause the aroma of Christ to come out of us. And may we live and may we speak with you as our audience. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. We'll see you next week.